This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11:30 news, we're going to talk about a little self-care. And we're going to do an update with a woman that we met a couple of weeks ago, Greg. Margie Lowe is a senior citizen who only just became active, trying to be an organizer now. And she has an update from a candidate forum that she organized. And she sent me an email last night. We were chatting a little bit. I want to give you an update about that. I encourage everyone to be a Margie.
Yes, be a Margie. Get up and do something.
Be a Margie. Get involved. Get up and do something. 4 days to go. That is the reason we are having our next guest join us. Kyle Kilborn is running for U.S. Congress. He is running in the 7th Congressional District, which comprises much of northern and northwestern Wisconsin. Good morning, Kyle. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you are running against Tom Tiffany, who is seeking a third full term in the U.S. House. He had previously spent a decade serving in the state legislature. You are new at this, Kyle. Why did you decide to jump into this?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a small town, in a small farm. My parents had an acre farm, and my dad was a construction worker, and my mom was a waitress. So we come from a working class family. But you know, I was able to achieve my American dream. You know, I went to school and was able to leave home and get a good job. But I don't see that very often happening in especially northern Wisconsin these days. And so I want to make sure that people can do that, whatever their American dream is, and not that they have to leave our rural communities to get that done. And so that's why I decided to run. A friend of mine just sort of asked, have you ever thought about running for office? I'm like, no. Thought about it for a couple months, and I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I have some skills. I can make this happen.
It's a really big district, Kyle. You must be putting on a lot of miles.
Yeah. It's 26 parts of 26 counties in Wisconsin. Yeah, it's a lot of miles. My car just hit 50,000, and it's 2 years old, so it's got the miles.
What are you hearing when you're out on the roads, when you're knocking on doors? What are folks telling you?
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things is, you know, the rising cost of living. You know, it's expensive. Price of groceries, gas, prescription drugs, you know, housing and car insurance as well is one of those things. And so everyone's feeling that squeeze, especially for rural Wisconsin. You know, we have to travel a long ways to get to our doctors. It's, you know, 60 miles just to go to the doctor for me. So, you know, it's one of those things. We all feel it.
While healthcare is a big issue for everyone around the country, what can we do? What would you do if you're elected, Kyle, to try and make things more accessible for all of us?
Yeah, you know, for this district, it's just not about affordability, but it's also having access to doctors. And what we're seeing is, you know, hospitals closing around the district. Nursing care facilities are shutting down and being privatized. You know, one of the things around it is about how we reimburse rural communities to keep these things open. So, you know, you have an ER in a urban area, you know, it's easier to keep that around because more people visit it. But you still need that ER in a small community. And, you know, we need to make sure that the funding stays there for that.
Well, having to drive an hour away, I mean, that's really scary. If you're in an accident, if you're a farmer and you have an accident on the farm and you're an hour away from a hospital, that's really frightening.
Yeah, and it's getting worse. I mean, 30% of the, you know, rural hospitals in this country are in danger of shutting down. So like, it's just something that's going to get worse until we actually decide to fix it. And that's what I plan to do.
Kyle Kilborn is our guest. He is running in the 7th Congressional District, which comprises a big chunk of northern and northwestern Wisconsin, and he is running against Tom Tiffany. I did read something, Kyle, that said that, you know, again, Tom Tiffany is an incumbent. He's been there for a long time. He's got a pretty big war chest.
He does. You know, I think the latest headline is six times raised more than me. The funny thing is he's you know, raised 1.2 this cycle, but he's actually spent 1.4 million. And so he's actually spending more than he raised. So he's wearing down that war chest, which is pretty amazing that we're able to make him do that.
We've talked quite a bit about Tom Tiffany's sudden desire to have the Apostle Islands declared a national park. Are you hearing much about that when you go door to door?
Oh, definitely.
Are you?
I've even had Republicans write me a letter and saying they're opposed to it. Like, wow. They're like, how do I get your yard sign? And so I'm like, well, you're gonna have to go to a Dem office. They're like, well, that's gonna be fun. Our neighbors are gonna be confused. We're gonna have a Trump sign and we're gonna have your sign, but you know, like, we're just so opposed to it.
And what is their opposition? Because again, we've talked about this a couple of times, and it seems like, at least for the detractors of this, it seems like Tom Tiffany wants to use this in order to encourage mining on one particular island, in the Apostle Island, Sand Island, instead of working with communities to find out if they're prepared to handle a big influx of tourists.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on who you talk to. There's different reasons why people oppose it. You know, part of that is, you know, it's the lack of infrastructure that actually can handle that. You know, the city and the county of Bayfield are opposed to it because they can't handle the tourists we have now with the housing, the strain is going to put on, you know, the emergency services. I think for some people, you know, they love the Apostle Islands as they are and like worry about what's going to happen. Sand Island is one of those things where it becomes a preserve, which has less protections. And so that's definitely one of those things. The tribal communities are upset that, you know, some of their treaty rights are going to be affected as well. And there's no guarantee for that. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. You know, my perspective is Tom's doing it because he wants to run for governor, wants to get known around the state. And that's his perspective of why he's doing this.
Oh my God. I never even thought about that, Kyle. Oh no. Well, Kyle, we've talked to a lot of candidates, and one of the things that interests us, and Jane alluded to it a little bit a moment ago, was knocking on doors and having those conversations with people. And you just spoke about, you know, Republicans will have a Trump sign and a sign for you. When you're knocking on those doors and people see that you're running for office, are they, you know, how do they feel about having the actual candidate come to their door and take the time to listen to what they need out of their representation here in Wisconsin?
Yeah. I mean, you know, such a big district, most of the time people don't see candidates. And so I've been to, you know, like Florence County, I knocked on a door there. It's way up northern by the Michigan border. And they're like, shock. Like, I've never had anyone knock on my door ever.
What are you doing here?
I have a congressman.
So, you know, it's fun to do that and then sort of meet people that way. You know, I go up to everyone. You know, I go up to people that have Trump hats and, you know, say, hey, I'm running for Congress. They're like, oh, what are you running as? Democrat. Like, oh, well, I don't like Democrats. I'm like, but I'm running against Tiffany. Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
Let's like, talk. That's yeah, amazing. Exactly.
Is there Tiffany fatigue, do you think, Kyle?
Oh, definitely. One of the things I love doing when I drive, you know, across the district is looking at yard signs and seeing if they have the whole collection or not. Often they don't. The Republicans might have a Trump and a Hovde, but then they skip over Tiffany and go to an assembly candidate. And so I'm like looking at, okay, do they have the collection or not? And, you know, making up stories of what that might mean. But I think a lot of people they know him. He's been running for 20 years in Wisconsin. So he started, you know, running for state Senate and, you know, and I think people are tired of him.
Yeah. Well, and I think, again, they're tired of the inaction. They're tired of nothing getting done. And the lip service, again, talking about, there were several articles about Tom Tiffany's sudden support now to turn the Apostle Islands into a national park. And yeah, he met with lobbyists in Washington about this. He met with some representatives of the tribes involved in Washington, but he hasn't actually gone to those areas and talked to the mayor of Bayfield and the other cities that would be impacted by this.
Yeah, I mean, he's talked to his Republican assembly friends. I mean, and get their letters of support. It's like, okay, well, yeah, of course your colleagues and friends are going to support this, but what about the people on the ground? And so, you know, we see that, you know, 30 days I started running against a different candidate. He's been one of the authors of raising the Social Security age. I mean, he was part of the Republican Study Committee in 2023 that put a proposal together. And 30 days before election, he says, oh, no, I don't support raising the age. And
so, of course like, not.
You know, of course not. You know, it's a re-election season, so he's had a change of tune.
What, did he take a photograph standing near the Blatnik Bridge and then claiming credit for bringing the money to that district? He voted against the Infrastructure Act.
Yeah, and now he says, oh, it's a good idea.
Oh, what great thing.
Yes. Yeah. Like a lot of those politicians do, like, we got $300 million for the thing that I voted
against.
Yes. Yeah. It's the same thing with veteran benefits and, you know, the PACT Act, which supported veterans that were, overseas and had, you know, exposure to toxic chemicals. He voted against that. So it's, you know, and he's running a veterans ad, like how he helps veterans. And so it's, you know, the hypocrisy is large.
Yeah.
Kyle Kilborn is our guest. He is running for the 7th Congressional District here in Wisconsin against Tom Tiffany. Kyle, do you think that the change in the maps has more people excited about this election now that we might actually be able to see some changes instituted in Wisconsin?
Yeah, definitely. I've been running since April 2023, so one of probably the most longest running candidates out there. Have yet to meet someone that has been running longer than me. And so I could see these waves. So when the maps were announced, you could see that this excitement around all these new candidates coming out. This district, you know, it is so huge. So we have a lot of assembly and state Senate candidates, and it's been amazing to sort of see them out on the ground and talking with them and that excitement. And then when the top of the ticket changed, that was like the second wave of excitement. So, you know, this district, you know, it's often written off as, you know, not viable, but, you know, we see this excitement. We see volunteers. The first year I was running the picnics and fairs, it was a lot of older folks. And then the second year, it was a lot of new folks that had never volunteered before, never gone out there. And so I met this veteran and wife who, for the first time, are coming to volunteer. They got kicked out of a Trump rally. So it's pretty amazing.
They got kicked out of a Trump rally?
Yeah, they were protesting. They were in the spot where the airport told them to be. And then the Trump people said, no, you can't be here. And so they got kicked out. And it was the first time they've ever volunteered and gotten involved in politics. So it was pretty amazing.
We're going to continue our conversation with Kyle Kilborn, running in the 7th Congressional District here in Wisconsin. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number's the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Kyle Kilborn. He is running for Congress in the 7th Congressional District against Tom Tiffany. Kyle, we have a phone call we're going to take real quickly. Cindy from Appleton. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. What's up?
Good morning, Kyle. Good luck to you, because that Tiffany's got to go. Anyway, a few things you forgot to talk about where he is in support of more CAFOs in this state. He's also in support of more big mining. He opposes any kind of regulation for PFOSs. He is anti-wolf. He was one of them that voted to have that wolf slaughter up north in February of 2021. And he also does not support the Endangered Species Act. So I'm wondering where you are on all of those issues.
Thank you, Cindy. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point of contention between us. I think for me, you know, I acknowledge climate change, which he does not. He thinks it's a hoax. He still says hurricanes. there's always been hurricanes. I just had a discussion with him this week, and he's like, well, yeah, there's more costs in Florida from hurricanes because more people are living down there. It has nothing to do with more hurricanes.
So. No.
It's crazy. So, for me, climate change, yeah, it's a threat, but it's also an opportunity that we're not taking advantage of. Wisconsin is, our love of outdoors. It's amazing. And unfortunately, because we have someone like Tiffany who doesn't believe in climate change, he doesn't believe in renewable energy either. And so we're not taking advantage of, the Infrastructure Act and the Climate Change Act to sort of build those new technologies and build that production in the district. And so for me, that is one of the key planks of my platform is the environment and making sure that we have clean water and clean air. We are finding PFAS all across the district. In Oneida County, one of the wells in one of the cities is like one of the worst in the nation for PFAS exposure. And so, it's something that he says, well, we need more research. We don't know what the effects of it, and we need to do more research. So we need to start taking action. And that's where we differ is he'll just say we need more research without getting,
without getting anything done.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He doesn't want to spend money on it. That's his big platform. Money, anything that costs money in a bill, he votes no. I mean, it could be funding the government, it could be anything that costs money, no.
I mean, he can look for more research. Meanwhile, people in communities he represents are drinking bottled water because they can't drink the water coming out of their tap. So this is me asking Tom Tiffany if he's listening. He's not. But still, where's your research? How much is enough? Let us know because people are having, or are you going to pay for all their bottled water while you're at it? Because these people need clean, they deserve clean drinking water.
And I would think too, Kyle, not that we talked about this earlier in the show, that Wisconsin's very much a pro-conservation state. We have all kinds of outdoors people and hunters and all of that stuff. And folks on the ground in the 7th Congressional District have seen the climate change with their own eyes.
Yeah. I mean, we experienced it last winter when the snow didn't come.
Yep.
Like that devastated our tourism industry and, sort of ignore that and say, how are we going to protect the district and make sure that it stays the way it is? And I mean, tourism is a huge thing and he's still advocating for mining. Like even in Oneida County, he has, some friends on the board that, tried to bring it up again. And, the voters have voted multiple times. We do not want mining up here. And he still tries. He's working with American Stewards of Liberty, this anti-conservation group to bring this stuff up here. It's just, it's crazy.
It's amazing what you can accomplish when you have such American Stewards of Liberty. Good Lord. One of the things, Kyle, you spoke about before is that people will look at the Northwest area of Wisconsin as foregone. It's going to be red. It's going to be Trump. But I worked in the Obama election in 2008 and that area voted handily for Barack Obama. There is the energy and the thoughts and the people out there to bring out those votes. And you're talking to them. And what we're hearing is that they want to change. I'm not saying they're going to become Democrats or liberals all of a sudden, but they're willing to put your sign on their yard along with a Trump sign to show that it's not just red and blue. It's who's going to do best for the state.
Yeah, I hear it all the time. People are like, well, I don't vote party. I vote the candidate. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me more about that. Yeah. And people do take the time to actually research candidates. They're just not a straight ticket sort of a group. They actually take the time and sort of look at what the candidates are saying, what they're going to do for them.
We've been talking a lot about, early turnout. Women are turning out in big numbers in this election. And we've talked a lot about the effect of the Dobbs overturn and also these ads now that are airing, encouraging husbands, wives, both sides, to vote your conscience when you go in the booth. Your spouse, your partner doesn't need to know how you vote. Are you feeling much of that at the doors?
I mean, there are some, I've been in some houses, very few, but I've been like chased off the lawn by the husbands.
Oh my goodness.
It does happen. But I think, what this area is known for is independence and freedom. And so when we talk about freedoms, especially reproductive freedoms, people understand like, okay, this is a woman. We don't need to have the government telling us what to do. And people respect that. Like when you tell them, like, do you really want the government involved in your doctor's office? And they don't. No matter what side they're on, most of them say, no, I don't want that. And so they understand that.
I'm relieved that they don't necessarily take their medical, their OBGYN advice, say, from a veterinarian.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kyle Kilborn is a candidate for the 7th Congressional District running against Tom Tiffany. Thank you so very much for joining us, Kyle.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Good luck. Four days.
Thank you, appreciate it.
4 days.
Yeah.
News is coming up next when we return. A little update on Margie Lowe. Be a Margie. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, nationwide, potentially globally, Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, Tuesday, Election Day, November 5th, we have special Civic Media coverage of the election starting at 6 p.m. with a cast of thousands. Ken Schaefer will be there. He's going to have his own little recombobulation area.
Is he going to be our Steve Kornacki?
Yeah. We're going to go to him.
Is he going to get a touchscreen?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe not a touch screen, it's going to be great. It really is. So I hope you can join us across the Civic Media Radio Network next Tuesday, starting at 6 p.m., right after Dom Salvia wraps up his show. So a bunch of us are going to be in Madison next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I wanted to mention this because I was just so impressed with her. We met Margie Lowe a couple of weeks ago.
October the 16th.
She had sent us an email on Jane Says.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever want to reach out to the show, the easiest way is janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays at civicmedia.us. Because she had decided to organize a town hall meeting.
Yes.
She's never done anything like this before. She's in her 70s.
Yeah.
But she's just tired of the incivility. And she said, you used to be able to have town halls where people would disagree about things, but you could actually talk about things. And now we have so many politicians that won't even show up to town halls because they don't want to deal with it.
And a lot of them will gloss over the concerns of the senior community.
Yes. So she set up this town hall at the Marriott where she encouraged seniors to attend, and then she reached out to a bunch of candidates. And I got a follow-up from her, and I just wanted to share this with you. She said, here's a few things I learned after hosting this event. This is from Margie Lowe. It's hard to do this alone, but not impossible. I have a new respect for campaign organizers. Keep good records. Write everything down. Mm-hmm. I'm creating a how-to manual because she's going to keep doing this. And she says, don't get discouraged. Just plan for the next election.
And honestly, this is how these types of events get started. They start as a small little event in a hotel conference room, and then it becomes a thing where candidates know
we got to go talk to these people.
We got to go to Margie's town hall, because if you want to talk to the seniors, and not to use it as leverage, but like if you want some senior votes, we got to go to Margie's, because Margie is important. She started this thing. Like that is the best attitude.
Absolutely. It's
from getting off the couch to organizing to doing, and then to say, all right, postmortem time. What did we do right? What did we do wrong? How do we make the next one bigger, better? And Margie, if I can give you, yes, one piece of advice, employ help.
Yeah.
Get yourself a friend or two who can just take care of the details with you.
Some of the office stuff, maybe. Oh, yeah.
Less stressful.
There's so many details to keep up on, I'm sure. Yeah. But she did say the Democrats were wonderful.
Yeah.
She invited people on both sides of the aisle.
Of course.
Jody Habesh-Sinikin had a conflict, but she adjusted her schedule and came.
Look at that.
Ben Steinhoff and William Walter both came. All three were very open and supportive. All three Republican candidates declined, citing conflict issues.
That is telling.
And again, I believe this is one of the reasons why she wanted to do this, because they have been so locked in their safe gerrymandered districts, they don't have to respond to people's concerns. Mm-hmm. They just don't need you.
No, and honestly, if I'm going off of any sort of information we've gotten, say, from a guy who owns California property, who's running for the U.S. Senate because he's rich and bored, he doesn't think old people's votes really matter that much to begin with.
Right.
So it doesn't surprise me that they didn't show up. It disappoints me. It doesn't surprise me, because there's a lot of older folks out there who are conservatives and Republicans. I mean, make some time. If anything, send a surrogate, send a campaign worker, send a friend. Be like, hey, I can't make it, but someone
I'll
who knows.
Send my yes,
and I will take all your information. I want to be, but we will be represented there. But just to not show up and cite conflict. I'm sorry, but you can make it work. Jody Habesh-Sinikin adjusted her schedule and made it work.
It just seems to me like seniors in the last couple of years, because they've always been a very important voting bloc.
Yes.
Because they vote regularly in every election.
Yes.
But it does seem to be that there is less attention on that group of voters now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I think it's a fallacy on both sides. I think that Democrats can think that older people aren't going to vote for them because they're older and conservative, which is a fallacy. And I think conservative people expect them to vote conservative because they're older, which is also a fallacy.
Yes.
It all goes back to what we were talking about with Kyle and all of these other candidates. You knock on the door and you talk to them. They might not be your party, but if they're a good person, they're going to have a conversation with you. And they might not even vote for you, but you've made an impression upon them. And those who showed up to this event, I guarantee you made an impression upon the people who came out, because it's one thing we all want, regardless of your age, your gender, or any of those things. We want to be listened to. We want to be respected, and we want to be part of the conversation. And seniors and children who are going to be voting age are constantly left out of the conversation because they're not seen as important or viable.
Well, Margie's still fired up. She's gonna keep working at it.
No doubt.
She's gonna keep organizing, and that's why I encourage all of us to be a Margie.
Be a Margie.
I don't care how old you are, how young you are.
Yeah.
You can still get involved, and it's important for all of us.
I'm looking at the live stream right now. We got a lot of people on the live stream right now because of the Dan Schaefer bump. Be a Margie. Go vote. Talk to your friends.
Make a plan. If you are going to vote on Tuesday, on election day, maybe take a couple friends with you.
Yeah.
Go cast your votes. Go get a nice lunch. Make it a thing.
Jane, it sounds like we should make a plan. We should vote. And then maybe have some self-care time. Take care of ourselves.
That is a really important thing.
Treat yourself, if you will.
We were talking in the last break. I haven't been sleeping very well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm up every night. I wake up at 2 o'clock, and it's like, oh, goy.
Oh, boy.
What should we do for self-care, Greg Bach?
Well, I mean, everybody is different, but one thing that's great, and unfortunately, the internet's not opening it up right now, but Terry Barr, Civic Media's very own Terry Barr, wrote an article on civicmedia.us talking about three tips to find your peace in the political storm. I think those have to go with self-care, which is, you know, step away from the noise first.
Put the phone down.
Get away from social media. Connection. Connection was one of, there was three things. It was, I can't remember the first one, but there was social media. Get away from that. Put it down. Just put your phone away and walk into another room for an hour. Also, make real life connections with people. Talk to them. Have a conversation. It doesn't have to be political. It shouldn't be political. But just take care of yourself. As far as personal for me, I mean, I've already voted. I voted on Monday. Very quick process in Kenosha. This weekend, it's a very busy weekend with the club. And then it's going to be in the car going right to Madison for the thing.
On Monday, yeah.
On Monday. So it's going to be a Sunday trying to take some time. Just
to breathe.
To breathe. Like, just maybe go for a nice walk, go for a lunch. But you've earned that. You're doing the good work.
You can take a break.
What are you going to do, Jane?
I'm going to clean my house.
That's, you know what? That's self-care. That's your version. I'm not going to tell you it's wrong. My self-care always involves the least amount of getting up as possible, but everyone does it differently.
It's got to get done.
Yeah. Calvin, do you have, I want to predict what Calvin's self-care will be. I'm going to say it's going to be reading, painting Warcraft figurines, and playing video games. Am I wrong or am I right, Calvin Butenhoff? Slick, Calby.
It's probably will be painting Warhammer figures.
There you go.
That usually includes listening to a podcast or reruns of SVU. I do that.
Hey, whatever brings you
whatever
that.
Works.
Yeah.
What kind of podcast do you listen to, Kel?
Warhammer podcast?
No, not necessarily. Just, I guess, like, some comedy ones, some like history ones, a mix of stuff.
Nice.
But not a political podcast when you're trying to do a little self-care.
Oh, yeah.
I like political podcasts, but yes, they kind of just raise my heart rate a little too much these days.
I mean, to be fair, he works for a network that puts out political podcasts all day long, so I would understand
he's
why you'd want
to disconnect,
but that's great. And, you know, let us know what you're doing to self-care, to take care of you.
How do you take your break?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you take your break? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And you can call and text directly from the Civic Media app.
So amazing.
So amazing. I want to go back to something we had talked about a little bit earlier, and this is also something that came up earlier in the week.
Yeah.
This whole alpha male, beta male thing.
Yeah.
Grr. Mike from Green Bay texted in, and I think this is really great. He's listening in WGBW. I don't know what an alpha male versus a beta male is, but I will say this. I drive a semi 60 plus hours a week. I literally built my home with my two hands, and I just finished building a woodworking shop so I can make furniture that my wife designs. I go about my business quietly. I keep my head down, and I provide for my family. If someone like Trump or Vance tried to hang out with my group, they would get eaten for lunch.
I want to be Mike's best friend. I want to go to his woodworking shop and be like, teach me how to do this, sir. That is, honestly, I agree. All those labels get out of my face. That's the kind of man I want to grow up to be. I want to be a man who does good work, takes care of his family with his partner, and just lives his life in kindness and goodness and just does his thing.
And compassion.
Exactly.
And reliability.
Mike from Green Bay, you rule.
Integrity, honesty. I don't know, those crazy little things.
Just the idea. I just imagine Trump or Vance walking up to like his garage where all his buddies and friends are hanging out, maybe drinking a beer, and they're like, why are you here right now?
Oh, no, you're not coming.
Walk away.
Tom from LA is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jane. Morning, Greg. I would say self-care would be going to the gym.
Mm.
And also, and actually when people, I wear my Kamala or Harris Walls shirt, of course, but put my headphones in, and if someone even comes up to me to talk about politics, it's not the time. So, yeah, that's just the bottom line. And the other thing I would say is volunteering, you know, phone banking. That's the one thing that really, really, for some reason, I don't know if it's because I'm ADHD and I have, you know, just high stimulation is what I need. But the thing is, it's one of those things where it kind of relaxes me when I get very, very high stimulation, and that being, you know, phone banking. So getting away from some of the media, of course, I don't get away from Civic Media as much as I probably should, but you guys probably like that.
So. We're fine with that, Tom.
You never have to leave, Tom. We don't ever want. No, you can always take a break. But I think you make a really good point.
Yeah.
That is your space where you don't want politics to intrude. So for this hour, this is my space.
And I'm going to say this, and I mean this, Tom, with all the living due respect you deserve with all the work you do. We see you on the text line. We see you in the comments. We know how passionate you are. But if Tom from LA can turn the politics off for 1 hour, we all can. Take that time for yourself. It will do you a heaping, helping load of good.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. We're going to wrap it up with Gene from Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for joining us. We got about a minute. What do you want to say?
First of all, great show as always. Outstanding.
Thank you.
And also, what I do is I love to listen to James Santel, Amicus, a law review for 2 hours, and you're learning new things. It's not political. You're learning new things, and I strongly recommend it, as well as listening to you guys every day. So thank you very much, and have a good weekend. Bye.
Thank you so much, Gene.
Jeannie is not a paid endorser of this network.
She is just a light.
I know.
Is just a shining, bright, happy light. Thank
we
you so much,
you, Gene.
Really appreciate that. All right, stay with us. When we return, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the Great Cheese Caper Edition. You're
Get
listening
it.
To Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder that after the news at noon, Todd Alba will continue his road trip across Wisconsin, What Makes Wisconsin Great, along with Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project, and Reed Galen will be there as well. So join Todd today from noon to 2 p.m. as they wrap up their across-the-state tour.
And then we're going to see him next week.
We're going to see him next week, Tuesday night. We will have all kinds of election coverage starting across the network at 6 p.m. So we're all going to be hunkered down in Madison for a couple of days. And it's going to be a really great evening. We have fabulous guests lined up.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep you posted as results start to come in. So join us for that Tuesday. I know, deep breath.
Four days left.
Tuesday starting at 6 o'clock. It is 11:52. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it into Greg and me. At Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays at civicmedia.us. This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Great Cheese Escapade.
Get it? Great Cheese Edition.
GRATE.
Get it?
Nice.
We're comic geniuses here.
What's going on?
So, and it's taking everything not to do a British accent right now, a real harumphy one, but the British artisanal cheese community is reeling from what's being called the great or great. Cheese heist of 2024 after imposters stole tens of thousands of pounds, weight-wise, of high-value cheddar from a major distributor.
Ouch.
London-based retailer and cheesemaker Niels Yard Dairy They are the victim of, quote, this is true, victim of a sophisticated fraud resulting in the loss of over 300,000 pounds money worth of cloth-bound cheddar, the equivalent of $389,000 worth of cheese.
How much?
$389,000 worth of cheese. And none of them are in, like, sliced up in singles. So what are we doing here, people?
There's criminal gangs involved with cheese?
Oh, yes. They're very sophisticated. They have bowler hats and little mustaches.
That absolutely should not be.
No, it should not be a thing. And also, I feel like, that's just me, if you are handling items of such high value, it needs to be, like, better security then. Because if they got away with $400,000 worth of cheese, imagine how much is left. Lots. It involved a fraudulent buyer posing as a legitimate wholesale distributor from a major French retailer. Man, this is a movie. This is going to be a movie.
Oh, absolutely.
With the cheese delivered before the discovery of the fraudulent identity. I mean, seriously, this is Ocean's 11, but for cheese.
I was just going to say that. Ocean's fromage.
Ocean's au fromage.
Oh yes.
The thieves made off with 900, and what I love are the numbers. 950 wheels over 22 metric tons, or roughly 48,500 pounds of Hafod, Westcombe, and Pitchfork cheddar.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, no one should steal.
We're not
advocating for theft. We're not advocating for crimery in a creamery. What we will say is this is the most hilarious one we've done so far. This is the most hilarious heist of 2024.
They got away. They're still on the run.
Exactly.
They're still on the run.
The police are looking for 5 to 7 really bound up men. We're like,
Hopefully we'll be able to have a complete the circle. If and when these criminals are taken into custody, we'll have an update amazing. For you at that point. It's 11:56. That was today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Greg Bach. Next week, coming up on Monday, we're going to have a very busy show. Alexander Vindman is going to return.
Yes.
If you remember, he was very instrumental. He testified in the first impeachment trial of the former president. And he was there when Donald Trump made the call to Ukraine, essentially saying, yeah, you want the aid you promised me? Well, I need you to do me a favor. Alexander Vindman will be here to talk about what a second Trump term could mean, especially on the global stage and our relationships with our allies and just how important that is.
Yeah.
Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University. Wonderful, wonderful guy.
So excited.
Derek's going to come into the studio and join us on Tuesday, on Monday rather. And then Tuesday, retired Major General Randy Manner is going to be back from National Security Leaders for America. Again, talking about what a second Trump term could mean, not just for America, but for the global world order.
We're going to keep talking about this even after the election because it's information that's always going to be important to all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Enjoy the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Make time to make a little time for yourself. Put down the phone. Go outside.
Go for a walk.
Go for a walk. Touch some grass. Take care of yourself and stay close, for the news is coming up next, followed by the one and only Todd Albus Show. Thank you so very much, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend. You get the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.